In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, hour number two is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I'm your host, Richard Battle, joining us now as he does on Wednesdays, Navigating Life's Journey. He is the author of, plus many other books as well. Richard, as always, thanks, sir, for joining us.
John, thank you for having me, and it's great to be alive in America today.
Did the Texas Democrats come back yet, or are they still out?
They're still out, but as we discuss this is an important issue for every state in the country,
yes,
not just Texas.
I agree. So, you know, let's get into it. Get into the heart of it. I mean, a lot of folks, you know, saw this. You guys probably were more aware of it being in Texas, but this was a nationwide thing where most folks, unless you live under a rock, you know, you saw the pictures of them on the airline flight and so on. And, you know, again, most people understood, I think, to a large extent what happened, but I'm not sure everybody knows why and what they were trying to accomplish.
Well, and the thing, and I have to get this out first because it's what frosts my cake, and that is these people going up there and claiming that they're so courageous and brave for leaving Texas and going to Washington. And I think back to the Alamo heroes who 3 days before the fall knew there were no reinforcements coming, and they made a choice not to leave but to stay and sacrifice themselves for Texas. And that was courage, not what these people are doing, leaving the state to avoid a vote on a legislative bill.
Amen. So really, the only reason they left, and from my knowledge, what I read and so on, is they were essentially trying to block a revised voter laws in Texas that I'm sure, much like a lot of other states that have done this, Richard, are not going to single out anybody and not allow someone to vote. If anything, it expands and even probably hastens the way you can vote. But I say all that to say that these states are also tightening up a lot of the things where there could be, you know, fraud and cheating and things like that. And that's all Texas is trying to do, is just really, you know, in a way, just straighten up the ship, right?
Well, that's absolutely the case, and this is one of 11 bills that the legislature is taking up right now, and they're expanding on what was law in 2019 and going into 2020.
Okay.
But the Democrats are demanding things that rogue counties did, and some were struck down by the courts last year. They're demanding those be codified into law as well, such as 24-hour voting. Well, 254 counties, that's a lot of poll workers and people,
right,
you have to be open 24 hours a day. So you have practicality issues in addition to
only practicality, but Richard, I think that's a lot to ask for, you know, even some businesses to be open, you know, 24 hours at a time in situations like that. I mean, growing up, And I was one of those where I couldn't wait to vote, Richard. I guess I was just one of those weirdo kids that, you know, I really, you know, loved our country and the republic it stood for and wanted to participate in that process. So, you know, when I turned, you know, 18 and had the chance to vote, I believe at that time Ronald Reagan was the first, you know, president that I was able to vote for. And, you know, to be able to cast that vote and, you know, go into the booth and do what you did, I mean, to me it was very much an honor to live in a free country where I could go into that voting booth and cast my vote even at a young age and be able to, you know, really have a voice, if you would, as to how things would be run. And I remember back in that day, I had to go in early because I was working and so on, but our voting polls back then, and I think even today when we have them live, we do everything by mail, which is a whole nother topic, Richard. But back then it was a 7-7, so a 12-hour day when it came to the polls and the watchers and all of that. And frankly, that gave plenty of people time to get to the polls before work, gave plenty of people time to get there after work, and it worked very, very well. I don't know why we'd need any more than that.
Well, yes, and most businesses now let people off for work, and in some states that's the law. There's absentee voting. Texas is expanding it from 2 to 3 weeks. They're expanding the number of hours that it's going to be mandated for each county to be open to try to make it easier for people. So you have to have a pretty lame excuse not to find a reason to vote during almost a four-week period throughout the state.
And by the way, I agree with all of that. And okay, so let's get into where things are at right now. I mean, we all can agree, and I think you and I and the majority of our listeners agree, that what's going on in all these states is not there to really disenfranchise any people group or any one individual person. We're just tightening things up so the voter fraud, it gets minimized. Let's face it, Richard, you're never going to get rid of it totally, but we want to try to do the very best we can to minimize that down to where it's a onesie, twosie thing, not a 10, 20, 50, 100,000, million in some cases. We don't want that many votes to be at risk. We want to get this thing down to as minimal as possible, and that's all you guys are trying to do. So give us an update as to where things are right now.
Well, the legislature, the Senate's passing bills as required. There are a lot of people here working who can't get everything done because the House is shut down. They said this has cost as much as $1.5 million at this point. But what the Democrats are trying to do is, one, they're trying to hurt Greg Abbott's possibility to run for president. They're trying to turn Texas blue. And the reason they went to Washington versus Oklahoma or New Mexico, where they've run before, is because they are lobbying for the Congress to take over the state's ability to set election law. Hmm. And that is a move to give up state sovereignty for all 50 states over establishing election law in each state. And they thought they would be the big heroes to go up there and push the Congress to get this bill through to nationalize the elections in effect.
Okay, so make sure I understand this from what you said earlier. The House Democrats are still out. They have not come back. So, for Texas, what happens next for you guys? Do they have to, do you have to bring these folks back? I realize they're trying to hurt, Abbott's chances in the future and really damage him, if you would. Where is all of this? Because honestly, here in Colorado, we saw the headlines from, a week or so ago. We haven't heard anything since.
Well, that's a great question. And the special session lasts 30 days, and this one will end August 7th.
Okay.
The governor's already said that he will call another one immediately afterwards. The Democrats have said they're going to stay out this session, so they're promising to stay out till at least August 7th. And the question becomes, at some point, who blinks? Does the governor say he won't call another special session with 11 bills, including teacher retirement pay, tax relief, border security, and all kinds of things on? Or does he continue to call more special sessions? Hmm. And I think the answer to that is he will call them until the cows come home, so to speak.
Gotcha. I also know that he has stated that, listen, you guys don't do this thing correctly and get going, we're just going to arrest all of you. Does that hold water? Does he have the power to do so?
Well, yes. And here's what happened. Back in 1979 was the first time they pulled this stunt, and 12 senators holed up in a garage apartment a few miles from the Capitol. 4 days later, they got what they wanted, which was a pretty small thing, and things went on. And they set a law up that if people were not there, they could have a call of the House and send the Texas Rangers after them.
Okay.
So 2003, the Democrats pulled this stunt again. They went to Oklahoma, came back into the state, and then fled to New Mexico, and they were gone several days, and they lost. And so they have to go out of state, or else the Rangers will pursue them and bring them back to the Capitol and force them into the session. That's why they left.
That's why they went to D.C. Okay, makes total sense.
They went to D.C. because of the U.S. Congress's bill to take over the elections. If that bill wouldn't have been there, they probably would have gone to Louisiana or Oklahoma or someplace closer.
Okay. Makes, again, these are things that we, again, you know, Richard, the only place that we're able to hear these things direct from the horse's mouth are guys like you, because we're not going to get this out of, you know, frankly, even some of the, you know, more right-leaning, you know, publications and so on. They still don't have all of the data and the different things that you guys that are living through this have. It's getting it right from you guys, you know, from you especially, means a lot, because otherwise we wouldn't have that same information.
Well, and what they're doing to me is such a poor example of leadership.
Oh, amen.
It's a poor example to our kids. What happens when you face adversity? Do you run away and avoid it, or do you do like the heroes at the Alamo and face it and do your very best? And do you pick up your balls and go home if you can't get everything you want in a piece of legislation, or do you fight and vote and then live to fight another day? And so what they're doing is a horrible example to businesses, kids, or anybody else in leadership, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree, Richard. I mean, really what they're trying to do is essentially there's no more compromise. Either we get it our way, or there's no negotiation, there's no haggling, there's no nothing. We're just gonna, to your point, you're going to take our ball and, you know, go play somewhere else. And again, no, that is not the way that we lead. It's not the way we teach our kids to lead. I mean, it goes back to what I was talking about in the last hour, and we start teaching our kids, you know, perfectionism and a lot of things that we can really get screwed up. This is one of those things that we can really screw the next culture up, because if people don't know how to, and use the name of your book, navigate life and you know, to be able to do some give and take. Because let's face it, Richard, all through life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a relationship with your spouse, your kids, whatever, work, you name it, there's got to be some give and take, or you're not going to be a happy person.
That's exactly true. And let me say, this to me is not a partisan issue, because there are Republicans doing this in Oregon, and I think it's equally bad the other side doing it.
Agree.
Because they're not executing their responsibility.
Yeah, they're not fulfilling the role the voters really elected them to do. And to your point, they're not fighting, quote unquote. I mean, I know it's, we're not using, you know, physical fighting, but they're not fighting for their constituents, which is really what they've been hired to do, Richard.
That's exactly the case. And of course, there's been the big COVID fiasco up there that's on top of all this. Every move that's been made since this started has made their tactics look bad in public.
I agree.
Poll numbers are horrible for them right now.
Well, I was going to ask you, that was my next question. What's it look like for these guys in the future? And, you know, and granted, we're a little bit away from the midterms in 2022, but, you know, frankly, Richard, they'll be here before you know it. It'll be this time next year, and we'll be talking about who's running, who's doing what. You know, they will be here quicker than we think. This cannot bode well for those individuals in Texas when they're running around trying to basically get out of the duties they're there to do.
Well, they're only going to look good with those people who are just locked into them. And what's interesting to me is there are protests at the state capitol now, and they're not really protests about the bill here. They're protests about our democracy's being stolen, so you need to get the Congress to vote on the bill to make elections national.
Yeah, which we don't want.
That, to me, is really interesting.
Yeah.
No, we
yeah,
don't
we
want
do not
that
want
all.
That. For everybody out there listening, please, please, please get that out of your head. We do not want a standardized national voting system. That would be one more step, in my opinion, Richard, in losing the republic and having a democracy. And I hate when they say that, because we don't want to save democracy. We don't have it. We don't want it. In fact, we want to run as far away from it as we can. We want equal representation. You don't get that in a democracy.
That's exactly true. We don't want that. And if you have one set of rules, it's much easier to cheat than if you have 50 states setting their own rules. And we wouldn't have had the problem last year if we wouldn't have had the issue of voter machines being connected to the internet.
That's right.
Which opens all these questions up that we're going through right now.
No, and just a little side note there. We're talking about that here on a – it was a Friday, I believe. It was either Tuesday or a Friday, Richard. We were talking about it, Andy and I together were. And we had somebody here locally that is very high up in the intelligence end of things, is retired from, you know, the intelligence community, and is really working hard on what you just talked about. In other words, making it known that, number one, these voting machines, I don't care who makes them, Dominion or otherwise, do not need connected to the internet at all, any way, shape, or form. Do not let them fool you into thinking that it's there for updates and things along those lines. The reality is all of that can be done manually very easily prior to whatever election to make sure things are done correctly. And by the way, that needs to be managed full well as well. Whenever there's an update done, that needs to, in my opinion, Richard, needs to be handled by a very stringent IT professional and probably more than one. There needs to be a team of them to make sure those things are done correctly. But bottom line, there is not a voting machine inside of the United States of America that should be ever connected to the internet, period.
Well, that's true. In the common sense, as I try to approach things with common sense, the rule should be there for voter integrity regardless of which side is making the rules. Because if the Republicans benefited off of potential cheating last year, the other side would screaming bloody murder right now. And so both sides should want the integrity that comes from each state setting up to protect themselves.
Richard, always a joy having you. It's great. I know this time goes by really fast when you're on, and it does, and I enjoy it. And again, folks, you that are listening want to know more about Richard, just Google his name. It's really easy. Richard Battle, Navigating Life's Journey. You'll find it. It's easy, plus all of the other things he's got going on. It's really not that difficult. Richard, as always, I appreciate it. And by the way, all of you listening, it's always on our website as well. Just go to rushtoreason.com. You can find Richard there as well. So, Richard, as always, thanks, man. I really appreciate it very much, sir.
Thank you, John. God bless America.
Likewise. I'll see you next week, Richard. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it very much. And again, find him on rushtoreason.com. RoofMax is up next. Dave Hart. And as I look out the window, and I was reading a moment ago about, you know, hey, we're into that monsoon end of things where we'll, you know, we can get some rain and even some hail and things like that. And Dave reminded me yesterday that, hey, RoofMax and the rejuvenation of your roof can protect. And you know, not necessarily ensure that you're never going to have any damage from hail, but boy, I tell you what, if you've got a roof that's got age, it's got cracking, it's got some dry rot and so on, his rejuvenation process will make that a lot more hail-proof is the best way for me to say that. He can explain all of that, show you what he means. He's even got samples of shingles before and after. It's really simple. Have Dave out. Look at your roof. Find out what he can do for you. That's RoofMax, 303-710-6916.
RoofMax is the fountain of youth for your roof. 90% of roofs replaced nationwide no longer need to be replaced, which would drastically reduce the materials in the landfills and resources from our planet to manufacture new shingles. By keeping your shingles in like-new condition, RoofMax is seeing on a national level a huge increase in protection against hail and wind damage. Most shingles these days are only getting 6 to 8 years of life before they start to dry out, lose the protective granules, and experience thermal cracking. With the RoofMax treatment, you can get a lot more life out of your roof. In most cases, RoofMax will add 15 years or more, saving you thousands of dollars and drastically reducing the number of insurance claims, which helps everyone keep insurance premium costs down. Call today at 303-710-6916 to schedule your free roof assessment. And be sure to mention you heard about them on KLZ to receive $100 off your RoofMax treatment.
Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage. We'll hear from Kurt tomorrow afternoon as well, or tomorrow evening, I should say, when it comes to the housing market, what are rates going to be doing and so on, get his opinion on that, which, you know, to give Kurt credit, he's been pretty much dead on all along, even through COVID, on what was going to happen with all of this. So we'll find out from him tomorrow night exactly what he thinks moving forward. In the meantime, anything you need from Kurt. And for those of you, by the way, that are self-employed, that struggle with this area, mortgages and so on, give Kurt a call. This is one of the things he specializes in. He's been my broker for the past 6 years. Give him a call today. 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Mike Ginsberg will be joining us here in the second half of this hour, by the way, the debt bomb. John Lott, he's an expert on the Second Amendment and guns and what the Biden administration is doing, should be with us here momentarily as well. So we'll squeeze him in between there. We had a little bit of change up here in there in our order today. So just stay with us. We got a lot going on the second half of this hour. One thing I wanted to mention real quick. This is not something that, by the way, you will see probably posted anywhere in our local news or even any kind of national news. But because of what I do with, you know, the plowing end of things and the property maintenance and so on, I get a lot of weather stuff. Okay, it's what we do. In fact, you always know that you're in the snow removal business when it's the middle of July, it's 100 degrees, and you're working on, you know, snow contracts and bidding and all that kind of stuff. It's very ironic, actually. But there's a particular service that we subscribe to that, interestingly enough, sent out this morning the Colorado precipitation trends over the last 125 years. So for all of those folks out there that are very hardcore on the left, believe in climate change, global warming, and all that nonsense, which it is total nonsense. It's been debunked numerous times on this program and others. As I look, Charlie, at the graph of precipitation, so moisture, in Colorado and those trends, and by the way, they break it down even to county by county. And what I will tell you is, it looks like a heartbeat. You can go from one year it's up, the next year it's down, the next year it might be down, the next year it's up, the next year it's up. Again, it's a heartbeat, folks, 125 years ago. And the reality is, as I look through this, and if I showed this to Charlie, you wouldn't know 1895 from 2019. And I'm using those two because they're very similar in the amount of precipitation we received. So do you get my point, folks? We have and have had in Colorado for 125 years and up and down, up and down, up and down. It's what we do here. And by the way, it happens that way everywhere in the world. That's why there's no global warming or climate change. I'm going to show Charlie this before the end of the day today, because literally it's fascinating, because it's just, it looks like a heartbeat. It's literally an up and down motion for the last 125 years. Low precipitation, high precipitation. Low precipitation, high precipitation. And it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, folks. So please don't let anybody out there tell you that global warming is causing our lack of moisture or the additional of. We had floods last night up in the Poudre Valley area that killed a woman and two people are missing. Folks, it happens. It's Colorado. And by the way, always be ready for that in Colorado. If you live near any kind of a stream, canyon, even the Platte River running through Denver here can get overflowed and run fast and cause problems. So folks, if you're around any kind of bodies of water or any low-lying areas or so on in Colorado, be careful. Bruce Simmons is up next, folks. He is our reverse mortgage expert. He is a professor of reverse mortgages. Give him a call today, 303-467-7821, or find him at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Folks, are you going to get to retirement? Are you going to stay in retirement? What's it take to get into retirement? When should you take Social Security? That's something that Al Smith can help you with across the board. Give him a call today. Find him at klzradio.com, 303-744-1128.
Give your retirement plan a stress test so that circumstances outside your control, like inflation, won't damage your standard of living. Chartered financial consultant and founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, gives you the peace of mind that your money will last. Let's say you need about $4,000 a month to live comfortably in retirement. Then suppose inflation averages 2.5%. In 15 years, you'll need $5,800 a month to maintain your purchasing power. Al will show you how to reinvest a portion of your nest egg into alternative tax-free accounts to create even more guaranteed income in retirement. Create a retirement plan that will hold up against the Golden Eagle stress test for a more comfortable retirement. Schedule a free no-obligation consultation now at klzradio.com/money. Confidence through planning. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Richard Petey with KLZ Radio. You are a mentor, a father, a pastor, and a friend. People look to you for answers when they struggle online. We'll send you free resources to improve your serve. Fill out the form klzradio/accountable.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, familiar voice and been with us many times on Rush to Reason. John Lott joining us now. John, welcome back. Rush to Reason, how are you, sir?
Oh, well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I enjoy it. You're a great scholar. You do well, or not well. You really are kind of the king, if you would, on the Second Amendment and what's happening to it and what we need to do to fight for it. Talk about the crime rates and the fact that the Biden administration somehow, some way, is wanting to attribute violent crime with owning guns when we all know, you included, that's not the case.
Right. I mean, look, violent crime has exploded over the last year, but one thing people have to understand is that the vast majority of violent crime has nothing to do with guns. 92% of violent crime doesn't involve guns in any way. And so, when he focuses virtually exclusively on guns, I can understand it to some extent, but it really is missing the huge, area underneath the iceberg there in the water. Rapes rarely involve guns, for example. Most aggravated assaults, most robberies don't involve guns.
Hmm.
You may think that that's what you see when you watch TV programs or what have you, And the thing is, that's the way it's been for decades. As long as they have data going back, it's bounced around 8% or so of violent crimes involving guns. So it's been a fairly constant statistic. And I guess my concern is that the proposals that Biden is putting forward aren't going to really affect gun crime in any useful way. In fact, no. I worry that some of them are actually going to make it worse.
I'm going to stop you for 1 second, John. Explain, I think I know why, but explain to our listeners, why would those make that worse?
Right. Well, look, the main victims of violent crime are fairly easy to identify. They're poor minorities who live in high-crime urban areas. They're the ones who overwhelmingly face the brunt of violent crime. And police are extremely important. I think police are the single most important factor for reducing crime, but police themselves understand that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And the different proposals that Biden's putting forward is going to make it very costly, particularly for the poorest people, to be able to go and get guns for protection. I mean, one proposal after another, the main effect it's going to have is going to be to make it costly for people to get guns. So, take something like the stabilizing braces, which he wants to go
right
and classify essentially as machine guns.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, a stabilizing brace is essentially a strap that fits around a person's arm. It was developed for veterans who had maybe lost part of their arm or hand while they were in the military who were crippled. and it made it possible for them to be able to hold on to the gun when they're using it defensively. You know, Biden wants to have people pay a $250 fee to be able to go and get them.
Right.
He wants them to go through a 9-month background check. I know of no evidence that indicates that poor, you know, that crippled people and disabled people are in any way committing crime at a higher rate now that's occurring. And there's no discussion about trade-offs that are involved there. What happens if you make it costly and difficult for disabled people to be able to go and use a gun defensively? But there are other things. You look at the background checks on private transfers that he wants to have. You know, the cost of it ranges across states. In some place like Washington, D.C., where they're voting on it, costs $125 to do a background check on a private transfer of a gun. That may not stop you or I from being able to go and get a gun.
It makes you think twice about it. Even at our level, it makes you think twice about, you know, don't want to add another gun to the collection at $125 on top of whatever you're going to pay. But for those that are looking for a very, you know, let's face it, John, and firearms are like cars. You can buy something that'll get from A to B, still do the job, get things done. It's all handled. And it may not be as nice as the one that's in total luxury, but it'll still get the job done. And it's much less in price, just like an inexpensive car versus a luxury car. Guns are the same way, right?
Correct. But my concern is that a $125 fee may make it so that the very people who are most likely victims of violent crime aren't going to be able to afford to legally obtain a gun to defend themselves and their families.
That's right.
You know, you look, you know, and I could go through a whole list of different rules that he has here that one after another, I unfortunately have come to the belief is that as I think the common factor for the different rules that they're pushing are to just make it costly for people to have guns. So,
again, John, and real quick, I want to stop you because I really do feel like, you know, the end goal here of this administration and, you know, the hardcore communist lefties that want to run things in this country, their goal is to essentially continue to push and push and push to the point where you and I no longer own, as free citizens, own guns in the first place. That, to me, that's really the end goal. It's just a chipping away of that with all the things they do.
Well, it surely will make people more dependent upon the government for protection. But here's the irony. You have the same people that are pushing for strict gun control are also pushing to make it very difficult for police to do their job.
Right.
We're pushing this last year to release, in many urban areas, over half the inmates that they had in jails. Many violent criminals were being released. And having prosecutors across the country that are refusing to prosecute violent criminals. You have these George Soros prosecutors in Philadelphia and Chicago and St. Louis and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Portland and Seattle and other places, which are refusing to prosecute even the criminals that do get arrested. And so they're making it so that law enforcement isn't able to protect you, and at the same time, making it so people aren't able to go and protect themselves.
One of the other things, and I've talked about it on our program a few times in the past, I know it's hard to describe to folks, but, you know, they call this ghost gun, you know, an AR-15 that's not totally complete, that you can complete yourself. And I don't want to get into all the details of that, but that's the other thing they want to try to eliminate. And yet, John and I, you know, John, you and I both know that the amount of quote unquote ghost guns that have been used in any type of mass shootings or those types of crimes in America are nil. They don't, it doesn't exist, that they're not a problem at all.
Well, there's no mass public shooting that I know of where a ghost gun's been used. And I was just working in the Department of Justice up until January, and I asked while I was there, you know, can somebody provide me with a list of crimes that have occurred, any type of crime that's occurred with ghost guns? And I got a list over the last 12 years or so of like 8 cases.
And it's so, nothing.
And, you know, and again, there's kind of no cost-benefit discussion about any of this stuff that goes on. It's just that can they point to a crime that's occurred? No notion of whether they're going to make it difficult for law-abiding citizens to own guns or, you know, in this case, people as a hobby basically try to put together a relatively inexpensive gun for themselves.
Right.
But, you know, what's going to be happening is the appointment that they have for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is Dave Shipman. You know, it's pretty clear that they want to expand the definition of a gun.
That's right.
So that they, you know, even you make any little tiny advance on a gun or something that may be used with a gun, you'll have to go, they'll classify it as a firearm and make you have to go through approval process for the ATF to approve it.
Yep.
And they could take years to approve it.
That's right.
Or they can go back and retroactively say even things that they've approved in the past we're going to unapprove.
Yeah.
And they just, yeah, it's just lots of things. You know, you look at things like Operation Choke Point, which Obama had at the end of his administration, where the federal government put pressure on financial institutions not to do business with gun makers and
right,
gun sellers.
Right.
Can you imagine running a business if you don't have anybody who will handle credit cards for your customers or handle checks from your customers? There are workarounds that exist, but they're fairly costly. And it's just one of many, and Trump ended that, but the rules were not quite finalized. Trump was putting forward rules that would forbid the federal government from discriminating against law-abiding companies that were producing a legal product. Biden killed those. And, you know, they haven't officially said what they're doing with it, but, you know, it's just one of many ways to make it costly and raise the cost of people being able to defend themselves.
You're correct. John, how do folks find more about what you've got going on, some of the work that you do, the writings and so on? I know this last article was in Real Clear Investigations. How else do they find you, sir?
Well, all that stuff is available at our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. We're the Crime Prevention Research Center. We're a group of academics that do work on these issues. And as I said, I've worked in the federal government dealing with law enforcement type things, but crimeresearch.org is our website.
Perfect. All right, I'll get that on our website tonight. So for all of you listening, you can have access to that and have that link readily available. John, as always, I appreciate it. You're welcome anytime, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll come right back. Absolute Heating. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. Make sure I say that correctly. They are up next, and they've got a great deal going on right now. And I talked about it earlier. I talked about it actually all week long because Lewis called in Monday and gave this offer. If you text KLZ and your name to 720-381-1767, you get the Absolute Advantage membership. That's a $329 for a year. That's the value of it. You get priority service, 10% off all services, a host of other items that go with that, and it's free. All you have to do is text that number, like I just said a moment ago, KLZ to 720-381-1767. That's Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Call for an AC estimate? Get only an AC estimate. Anytime an HVAC technician tries to upsell you during your estimate, that's not a technician. That's a salesperson. You watch. Later on, a completely different person will come over to install your unit. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air will not send a salesperson to your house. Your first appointment will be with the technician who installs the unit. Their goal is to give you the service you called for, not convince you to spend more money. The entire team at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air meets for training every Tuesday, and they hear the same message each week. Their job is to make the customer's home more comfortable. You called because you wanted cooler, cleaner air in your house. So, that's what you'll get. Your Absolute Electrical Heating and Air technician will give you three pricing options for the only service you requested. Air conditioning. Call 720-526-0231 now and get what you called for.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
John Rush will save you money. You hesitate to hire a business coach because you think you can't afford it, but John earns his wages the first year through tax savings alone. He's not an accountant, but he's been in business for himself since 1986 and has learned the hard way by making mistakes and spending too much money on taxes instead of taking full advantage of the tax code. These aren't loopholes. These are legitimate savings built into the tax code that your accountant may not tell you about. For example, vehicles with a GVWR of 6,001 pounds can be completely written off as a business expense. That means you could purchase a truck or SUV for your business anytime from now to December 31st, 2021, and reduce your tax liability for the entire year. Those are dollars you won't have to pay taxes on now. That could mean the difference between taking your family on a vacation or not. Hiring John today will save you thousands. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie's rounding up our next guest. I believe his last name is pronounced Ginsburg. Charlie's going to double-check for me to be sure. Mike Ginsburg, he is author of Debt Bomb, so we'll get him going. And again, this was sort of a last-minute guest that we had, and Liz Mayer actually was the one that set all this up. So we'll talk to Liz tomorrow, as we do on Thursdays, and we'll get Mike going here in just a moment. So again, appreciate all of you listening. Been a very fun-filled show, fact-filled, fun-filled show today. And for those of you that were not familiar with John Lott, he is an expert in the gun control end of things, and I would encourage you to go check out his website, crimeresearch.org. Again, we'll have all that up on the website later tonight. We do our very best to get those things updated, get the podcast up to where you can actually go back in and listen to something you may have missed, and or find all of the links that we talk about throughout the day. So Michael Ginsburg is joining us now, again, author of Debt Bomb. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate it very much. So you wrote a book, Debt Bomb, that is fictional, although you're using a lot of what's going on in the world today where maybe it's not so much fiction.
That's right. That's right. I took the debt, the growing debt, the national, you know, the growth of the debt, and projected it out into the future and sort of took maybe the worst-case scenario, but wanted really to create a book that looked at the issue and focused people again on it.
All right, so I guess from what you're telling me, I mean, I can pretty well understand why you wrote the book, because I, like you, worry about that, and who knows where it's headed, although I'm like you. I don't know that you could look at it and not be nervous about where things are headed. I mean, I'm one of those guys where I keep the debt clock bookmarked, where I can pull it up at any given time. And right now we are $28,548,601,000,000, and the last one grows so fast I can't mention it. It just rolls along, Mike.
Yep. Yeah. No. It is a veritable turnstile, and it is remarkable just how much we will borrow in a minute or in a day or in an hour. The sums are ungodly.
Yeah, I don't want to give the synopsis of the book away, or the ending, I guess I should say. But tell us a little bit about what's in the book, what can people expect, and then maybe outside of the book, realistically, where do you see us headed when it comes to all of this debt? I mean, you know, you and I both know we cannot carry this forever. Eventually, it will become a bomb. Your book titled Debt Bomb, that's where we're headed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, I think that the book itself is the premise is that the Chinese seeking global hegemony, which is something that President Xi talks about quite often, mm-hmm. most recently in the Communist Party 100th anniversary, the Chinese try to engineer a debt crisis, an American debt crisis, in order to achieve their goals throughout the world. And an accountant who ran for Congress but failed to win because she was rejected essentially for having criticized the debts and the deficits of her own party's leadership, ends up joining an insurgent presidential campaign. The insurgent presidential campaign wins. She becomes budget director, OMB director, and the story is really sort of a cat-and-mouse game between her and the Chinese as the Chinese try to undermine the American economy. As far as where is it going, it could go in a lot of different directions, and I think part of the reason it is such a scary issue is it's hard to predict which way it's going to go. It could be a sort of a slow crowding out of investment, or it could be a, like Hemingway said, how did you go bankrupt? Well, suddenly and then, or gradually and then suddenly.
Right. Again, as I said earlier, this may very well be, and I hope it's not, but it could very well be sort of a crystal ball. Let's look to the future and see what things are going to look like. And Michael, I don't know that you're that far off. I read what I could on Amazon, not having the book in front of me, but what I read, the reality is I'm not sure that this isn't a look to the future, not in a fictional manner, very truthful matter.
There are certainly elements that I think, are headed our way. I mean, part of the issue that comes up is, well, how do you pay for Medicare patients or folks who are dependent on Social Security? Well, we know that the Medicare Trust Fund is rapidly approaching insolvency. And what is a nursing home that's got a patient that's paying Medicare? What are they going to do if Medicare is not there anymore? What's going to happen to those people?
What's going to happen? You know, again, I'll throw something else out, Michael. What happens when, you know, Social Security? A lot of folks that get elderly, you know, literally they are reliant on, and in their case, they've paid into. You know, at what point in time, you know, does it run? I mean, essentially, it's out now. But, you know, what point in time does it run out of money to where those people that have put in have nothing to take back out?
That's exactly right. You know, even now, the Social Security Trust Fund is really just sort of a lot of IOUs the government
That's
is
right.
actually borrowing from itself. So it's a huge risk. And even for people who aren't dependent on Social Security, if the government, you know, if the result of this is the government trying to inflate its way out of its debt, folks' savings are going to be decimated. So even if you plan properly and you have your own account, it will be like Weimar Germany. You know, it'll become useless because it will be inflated to nothingness.
Yeah, in fact, what we're doing, and you know this as well as anybody, knowing somebody that understands, you know, debt like you do and writing the book Debt Bomb, you would understand that in a way, well, not in a way. What we're doing right now, factual, this is true. This is not, you know, fictional in the book. This is just the truth, Michael. We are rewarding debt, and we are punishing those that save.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And as we go forward, you know, we are taking advantage of the fact that we have very low interest rates right now. If
right.
those interest rates start to go up even just a little bit, you know, the percentage of the budget that's going to be taken up by interest payments
huge.
Is going to balloon.
It's huge.
And we're unprepared for that.
Yeah. Now, and what I meant by that, folks that were listening, maybe you've never heard me talk about this, but what I meant by we're rewarding debt is, Michael, as we self-inflate, and every government does that to be able to, you know, function and do the things they do, when you do that and you inflate the dollar, which is what we're doing right now, and you've got, you know, let's say round numbers, you got $100,000 of debt today, but we inflate the dollar, you're paying that $100,000 of debt back with inflated dollars, which actually makes it even cheaper. So again, we're rewarding those that have debt and we're killing those that have savings.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You erode the value of the savings because, as you say, you're diminishing the value of the dollars that they've saved, and that threat, you know, just will grow over time as we proceed with,
yep.
with continuing to spend and continuing to flood the economy with dollars.
That's right. Yeah, the more we print, the more this happens. And in fact, Michael, I predicted, you know, real quick, you know, a while back, and I had lots of, you know, traders and political pundits and Wall Street guys say that I was completely wrong, that, you know, we wouldn't see inflation at, you know, 10%. You know, any time in 2021, that it would take longer to get there. Well, the real inflation number is around that 10% mark, despite what the government may tell us, Michael. The reality is, I was right, they were wrong. We're at 10% right now.
Yeah. I mean, I am, it's hard to, you know, tease out, you know, what of it is sort of these lingering COVID effects, but I'm convinced that not all of it is COVID effects.
No.
And it's not.
No.
When they keep using the word transitory, I think they are. They're going to find themselves expanding the definition of transitory in due course.
I agree. You can buy the book, by the way, folks, on Amazon. Any place else they need to look for the book, Michael?
You can get it on Barnes & Noble. You can get it at my own website, which is michaelginsburg.com. You can get it at my publisher, BQB Publishing. So it's definitely out there. I think Kobo has it as well. So, yeah, love for folks to read it and really think about the issue. That was why I wrote it.
Perfect. Michael, appreciate it very much. We'll have you back. This has been great. I really appreciate it, sir, and I hope you're wrong.
Believe me, I hope so, too, but I worry that
I'm afraid
wrong.
You aren't, though. I'm afraid you aren't. Michael, I appreciate it very much. Have a great evening. Let's do this. Frankton Firearms is up next. We talked to John Lott a moment ago about guns and where things are headed and what the Biden administration feels and what they're trying to accomplish and what they're trying to do in this area. And I'm telling you right now, folks, if you want to buy a gun, get accessories and ammo, do it now. Franktown Firearms, KLZRadio.com, 720-770-7777.
Teach your children responsibility around guns in a safe, welcoming environment. At Franktown Firearms, everyone shares a common goal, to keep on learning. Responsibility requires practice, so head instructor Karen Murray considers herself a lifelong student as well as a teacher. Karen creates her own proprietary training courses so people of all ages may develop confidence with firearms. Now, for the first time, only at Franktown Firearms, Children as young as 5 years old may learn to keep themselves and others safe in homes with guns. Starting with airsoft and BBs, you and your children will develop a healthy respect for firearms together. Sign up for one of Karen's classes as a family at klzradio.com/franktown. First responders, military veterans, and range members receive discounts in the shop. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, that's it for hour number two. We've got hour three coming up next, so don't go anywhere. And don't forget, we have the National Crawford Roundtable on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7. Typically, we replay the first hour from 6 to 7, but tonight it's the National Crawford Roundtable, which, is, by the way, is really good today. We talked about vaccines and the force of and all the different things surrounding us. We had a really great discussion. Up next, though, we've got a topic. California schools are going to require masks this fall, regardless of vaccination status. So we've got Veronica joining us from the New American. And then, of course, Scott Carlos will join us at the bottom of the hour. And he's got some interesting statistics when it comes to the markets this week, what they did and why. We'll talk to him at 5:30. So we'll be right back. Hour three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.